Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We are Dave and Ashley Willis, and on this podcast, we address the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. And this episode, I think, is one of my favorite that we've ever done. You're going to want to stick around to the very, very end of this, both the question that we answer at the end and the guests that we have. We've got Terry and Kiwi Cook here. Sweetie, why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
They are such an amazing couple. You know, we're going to be talking about cultural differences today. And Kiwi is from the Philippines and Terry is from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So as you can imagine, there were some cultural clashes there, not only with each other, but with their families. And so we're going to unpack that. And this episode is just so good. So like Dave said, stay till the very end and let's dive in.
I am so excited about this conversation today and the couple we've got here in the studio with us, because every couple on some level does go through navigating cultural differences, even if you were raised in the same town, just because, you know, like you and I, our families had different traditions and upbringings and ways of doing things, and you've got to kind of navigate that. And then that can be amplified many times over when you're talking about coming from two different sides of the world and two different countries and two different cultures in every single way.
Yes.
And so we're so excited to talk here today with Terry and Kiwi Cook. You heard about them in the intro. And guys, I just want to say welcome. Welcome to the Naked Marriage Podcast.
Thank you for having us. We're excited.
Absolutely. Now, as we dive straight into the kind of the cultural differences, Kiwi, of course, is from the Philippines originally. Terry's from Tennessee. And so it's two different worlds coming together. But before we get there, just tell us real quick again the story of how you met, because you were telling us that at breakfast. And I just love this story. And so walk us through. And I want to know the pickup line you used specifically, because that one I think wasn't maybe in the original story.
Wasn't
if you can remember it,
story,
I'd love to hear it, because this is good stuff.
We do want to hear that.
Do you want to tell the story?
So the honest version of the story is
the raw version of the story
is that we met at a bar, and we usually like don't tell everybody, because when you say you met at a bar,
it's a restaurant that turns into a bar.
There's a stigma right away. So me and another couple of friends and another guy friend, I used to live in Dalton, Georgia, because I work there. And we always go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then we go to this hangout place. And there we are. My two guy friends went out to just like a chit chat. And my other girlfriend was with me. We were chatting. And then Terry comes over and he said, "Hey, my name is Terry. I want to get to know you. But I've never had a boyfriend."
I think I said,
"What did you say?"
I think I said, "Wow, you're pretty. What's your name?" "Hi, I'm Terry."
And then I told, I never had a boyfriend. I was always telling my friends, "I'm NBSB, no boyfriend since birth." Mm-hmm. And I was raised in a church, so I don't want to meet other people like out, especially at the bar. So I told him, "I'm sorry, I'm married."
So the relationship,
hilarious.
I love this. So your response to his pickup line is, "I'm married."
I mean, she instantly got very closed off, like closed off. And then she said that she was married and I had a walk of shame. I was going to say ugly, but maybe just disappointing walk of shame back to my other friend that was waiting on me. He's like, "So how'd it go?" I'm like, "Not good."
But after 20 minutes, he came back and he said,
"I was fixated on you."
Oh.
And I did go back. Well, I paid my tab. I paid my tab because I thought, okay, I'm gonna cash out and then I'm gonna go back and talk to her one more time. And then that way, if she shoots me down again, I'll just leave.
So you think from the start, she's not wearing a wedding ring. She's lying about being married.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Why is she lying about this? Yeah.
She's just playing hard to get. she wants me to pursue her. I get it.
Right.
So I go back and I'm like, "Hey, I know you said you were married, but where's your wedding ring?" And she was like,
I usually don't wear my wedding ring.
She stayed with the lie.
She stayed with
She's
it.
Like, I have
Sorry,
to stick
I already repented
it.
About that.
Then one of her friends, who is actually in our wedding, walks by. And she goes, oh, this is my husband. And he goes, I'm not her husband. She's single.
Yes, the truth comes out.
There you go.
So he never stopped texting after that.
So we exchanged phone numbers. She gave in a little bit. And we started texting that night.
Well, that's so neat. And you guys have been married
seven years.
Yeah. So awesome.
We've been together for nine. We were engaged for... almost 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, around about 2 years.
That's great. And I know, you know, with her family being in the Philippines, your family being here in Tennessee, I'm assuming they're still in Tennessee.
They're in Tennessee. The only family I have in Dallas is I have my aunt. And they live in Richardson. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a huge learning curve. Uh-huh. Like, and just as your worlds are coming together and I know there are a lot of different ways. You were talking about Christmas Eve and Christmas in the Philippines. You start celebrating in September and go through January. And so you're talking about bringing out the tree in September. And Terry's thinking like, what are you talking about? But there are a million things like that.
Yeah.
And so as you're dating, as you're bringing these worlds and cultures together and trying to figure out, you know, how to make it work as a couple with these two different worldviews, what were some of the biggest things to overcome, the biggest hurdles?
I can think of one right off the bat. Prime example. American gatherings, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, whatever your family does, American families get together, they have a big dinner, and what do they do after that dinner? They go and sit in the living room and do nothing.
Right.
It's awesome.
So many times she was like, what are we going to do now? And I'm like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
This is it. We're doing it.
We've eaten a lot of food.
So bored.
For hours, Americans will sit 2 to 3 hours, and there might be a little chit chat, but essentially nothing.
Some football on.
Watch football. Watch a movie. Yeah.
Oh, no. Filipinos, we have a production number.
What do you do? Like, what do you do after a meal?
So the food stays on the table, and you can eat anytime. Like, even if you have eaten, you can eat after 2 hours or after 20 minutes. And then we have karaoke. We have games. We have
that was fun.
Yes. We have exchange gifts, and we just have games all night long until when it's over.
Yeah,
There's always something stimulating to do.
So when you kind of ran into that, and you're like, "Well, she has this expectation that there's more to this."
Yeah,
how did you deal with that? Because I'm sure it would be frustrating. Because you're like, "Look, I just want to lay on the couch and maybe take a nap."
Yeah, the first few times it was like, you know, I could tell she was like, what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
But it does over time, if you don't address that,
it
does become an issue because, you know, your spouse has that expectation of what she's used to.
Right.
And, you know, we got married, she was, you know, in her 30s. So, I mean, you have all that time frame that you're used to certain traditions. And American culture is exactly what we described. So, I mean, if you don't sit down and talk about it, it can definitely cause a strife for sure.
Yeah, right. I know there's a lot to navigate. And something really poignant you guys said at breakfast as we were talking is in counseling.
Yeah.
When the counselor or the pastor said, now, just because, you know, you were raised one way and he or she was raised another way, it doesn't mean that your way is automatically right and your way is automatically wrong. But at the same time, trying to find a way to celebrate each other's cultures and celebrate each other's preferences and find a way to bring those worlds together and navigate it. How did you, was it one thing at a time or was it like, just walk us through that process of navigating a way to make your relationship work basically in spite of these two very different perspectives?
We did seek a counselor at our church.
He is
one of our senior pastors. He helped us with a lot of those communication issues because that's not communicating in a healthy marriage, expecting, oh, I'm American, you're in America now, and this is how we do it.
Right.
And I think a lot of spouses think that way. Well, you're in America now, and
like
this is how
here.
We do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to just succumb to the culture.
Right.
But that's not a healthy marriage. That's not...
Yeah.
Valuing your spouse, whether it's your husband or your wife, and you need to try to figure out how can we do a little bit of both?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I think we work with so many couples who will let the tiniest little differences become this huge wedge in their marriage. And they'll just fight and say, no, I'm right, you're wrong. My family's way is right, your family's way is wrong. You've had to navigate every aspect of your life and relationship to make a marriage thrive and work. And you're doing it. But you're saying our relationship with each other and the culture we're creating together is a priority, and we're gonna make the rest work. And so what would your advice be to just get real practical to those who are listening? And maybe couples are listening who do come from different sides of the world, but many of them just are navigating the different culture of having two different families, maybe even in the same hometown, but they were raised in slightly different ways, and those slight differences are becoming a wedge in their marriage. So what would you suggest to couples who are just stuck on the little differences in the way they were brought up or their own preferences or whatever it might be to find unity the way that you guys have?
It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And I think that getting deep planted roots in your local church, number one, because you're surrounding yourself with like-minded Christians.
Yeah. I love that.
And that's God's vision for the church.
Yeah. It's
like every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Yes. That's a beautiful vision of the church.
I would say 90% likely to meet a married couple that has a similar issue, even though it's not a cultural issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to then take another step on your own and get communicative help from a pastor counselor.
Yeah.
That helped us tremendously.
Yes.
Yeah. And but you guys did that early on?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
and
good.
We still have cultural differences or differences personality. We were not brought up together. We have different parents. And then me now, I'm learning like, Lord, I know that you have given Terry to me. Sometimes I always think like, what can he do for me? Like, he needs to change for me. Mm-hmm. But now, like, God is changing my mind just to think about what can I do for him?
Yeah, that's good.
Like, well, how can I serve my husband?
That's huge. Yeah.
And not just me. It's about,
right.
How about me?
God shifts your heart. Mm-hmm. And in that process, if I do that for her and she does that for me, we're actually healing each other behind the scenes.
You're right. Yeah.
And
it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Coming to your own realization that, hey, you can't do this alone and actually reaching out to your team at your church. I know that there's a marital counselor there. Every church I've ever seen has somebody gifted in that. Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate that our church has someone that he is fantastic.
Good.
And he creates a neutral balance. And we still talk to, we don't have really visits with him anymore, but.
But you know he's there too. I think part of it is he's counseling, and we talk a lot about Christian counseling on this podcast because we are such proponents of it. Like we just believe in it. We've gone through it ourselves, and we believe in it. And it's one of those things too. I think there's different seasons where you kind of need it more.
Sure. Yeah.
But just knowing you have a trusted person who has wisdom that you can talk to, that loves God, loves you, and is for your marriage, like that's a game changer right there. Because I think there are a lot of people listening where they're like, That's great, but I don't even know who to talk to. And so for those of you who are listening and you're not currently, you don't have a home church, I first and foremost encourage you to find a home church because there's so many great churches out there. And if you felt like you haven't found it, just keep on looking. Don't give up. But secondly, I want to encourage you to contact one of our marriage coaches here at Marriage Today. We have these women on staff who are just amazing women who are so wise and have the training and the experience to help you through your marital troubles, including these cultural differences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to talk to a marriage coach, you can do it in person if you're in the DFW area and set up an appointment, or you can Skype call with them and you can go to marriagetoday.com/coaches, and they're amazing.
Yeah, they really, really are. And there are going to be cultural differences that pop up in every season of marriage. Sometimes, as kids come, as grandkids come, in different seasons of life and marriage, it's going to pop up. And so just let the selfishness in us get out of the way. Because for most issues in marriage, I think it's the selfishness that really gets in the way and move forward together. And before we end the conversation, there's one part of your story I want to make sure we focus on, Kiwi in particular, because for years, Ashley and I have been connected to a ministry called Compassion International, which reaches out to kids in need all over the world. We've been sponsors of Compassion for years and years. Our first kid was a Compassion kid, little Atziri, a little girl from Mexico. And we've right now we're sponsoring three different kids in three different parts of the world. And the more I get to know about this ministry, the more we've partnered with them over the years, the more I respect and admire what they're doing. And so part of what inspires me so much about your all's journey is that Kiwi, you were a Compassion kid in the Philippines.
Yes.
Like these faces in the packets we see, real like people. These are real kids and you were one of these kids. And so just talk to us a few minutes about that experience, what it was like growing up in the Compassion program.
So I was born and raised in the Philippines to a very poor family. I was born to an alcoholic dad, and my parents would fight because of his alcoholism every night. My three brothers died because of lack of medical attention.
Oh my gosh, but, I'm so sorry.
You know, our life changed when my dad picked up a tract from the floor of his workplace. A tract is a reading material about Jesus. He went to a crusade, and he accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior.
Wow.
And he went back home sober.
Oh my goodness.
And because of that, my mom was like, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? But he said, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior and you need to come to church with me. And he brought us to church and we would sit in Sunday school and they would just talk about Jesus Christ and all that he has done. But as a young kid, I could not believe, like, do we have this Christ? Why are we so poor? Because I always remember, like, there's lack of food at home. We would beg our parents to just have dinner, but they can't provide for us. And I always tell about the story about the apple when apples were imported from the Philippines that I would beg my parents, Ma, Pa, please, I want to taste this apple. But even a rotten apple, they could not afford to buy.
Wow, wow.
But at the age of 7, my life changed when I was sponsored from this guy from Australia pick up a packet. And he sponsored me. And the very first thing in his letter, he said, Kiwi, you are pretty. And Kiwi, Jesus loves you.
Wow.
Wow.
It just, nobody told me that I was beautiful. It's not in our culture to tell our kids, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so pretty. You can do this. You can be whatever you want to be.
Right.
But this person told me that. And I realized after that, Lord, is this how you see me? That I'm beautiful and wonderful in your sight. Mm-hmm. So I would go to the Compassion Project and my teacher there, she told me, Kiwi, this might be your situation, but this is not your destiny. Mm-hmm. For in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, God has a plan for you, plan to prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope in a future. Then I begin to dream dreams about my future. And I said, Ma, I want to go to college. I want to take up something and be somebody. And now I'm a physical therapist working in a hospital here in Dallas, Texas. 10 years ago, I came to the United States and worked as a physical therapist. And 7 years ago, I got married to this wonderful man from Chattanooga, Tennessee. My husband, he's an executive chef here in Dallas. Imagine I was hungry when I was a kid. Now I'm married to an executive chef. I will never be hungry again. And during the wedding, I invited my parents to come to the United States and I took them to an apple orchard. And my dad, he was just picking up apples from the ground. And I said, God has given us a lot, exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think. That we're now able to pick up apples from the tree. And now God has blessed us not to just keep it to ourselves, but to be a blessing to other people as well. We are now sponsors of 4 kids.
Oh, that's amazing.
2 from the Philippines.
Yep. Full circle.
1 from Haiti and 1 from Bolivia. And we met our sponsor children. Me and Terry went back 5 years ago. And we just told them, hang in there. Do not give up. Yep. If God can do it to me, He can do it to you. And one day, God will give you an avenue to tell your friends, to tell your neighbors, to tell a congregation, to tell people who's listening in a podcast that we have a good, good Father in heaven.
Wow. I have cold chills. Like, your whole time you're talking, I'm literally like holding back tears because I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I mean, like.
You've probably heard Ashley and I talk about the importance of therapy. And this is something that we have benefited from individually and together as a couple at different points in our marriage and in our individual lives as well. That's why I'm so proud to be able to partner with BetterHelp. They are the largest online therapy organization that you can find. They're very reputable. They have helped thousands and thousands of people. I'm one of them, by the way. You've heard us in the past talk about Faithful Counseling. This is the same company. BetterHelp is the parent company of Faithful Counseling. So you can find a Christian therapist. You can do this from the convenience of your home. You don't have to sit in an office. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do it from home, which is what I did. And it's so helpful. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. There's a link in our description, or you can go to betterhelp.com/nakedmarriage. That's betterhelp.com/nakedmarriage. So if you're struggling, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/nakedmarriage. Having to run to the store every time you need something can be exhausting. And I am so glad that we now have Thrive Market. We've started to use Thrive Market because it carries brands with high quality ingredients and sourcing methods, and it is really user-friendly, and we love the stuff we've been able to get there. Plus, it's a lot of healthy stuff, and with a few clicks, you can make simpler, healthier swaps for maybe some of the stuff that you're currently eating and drinking. So I want you to check out Thrive Market as well. You save time and money when you shop Thrive Market today. Just go to thrivemarket.com/naked. And guys, they're going to give you 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. You can't beat it. It's thrivemarket.com/naked. thrivemarket.com/naked. Check it out.
Before we wrap up today, we're going to dive into a Q&A time. We always end our podcast this way. And we've got Terry and Kiwi here in the studio still live to help us with today's question. So, sweetie, would you mind using that beautiful reading voice of yours to read this question?
Yes. And thank you guys so much for those of you who submitted questions. If you want to have a question answered, it's anonymous, okay? And the questions we answer on the podcast, you can submit those to nakedmarriagepodcast.com. All right, here's the question. It says, "Hi all, I love listening to your podcast. I used to watch your all's Facebook videos from the van, and we saw you at XO in 2016. I have learned so much from you all. My question now is, how do I handle feeling like I am taking a backseat to my husband's family? He has been close to them, and he is in constant communication with them, and many times he communicates with them more than me, and it leaves me feeling neglected. I can be sharing my heart with him, and if his mom or dad or sibling calls, he will ask me to hold on and take the call. I have tried to address it, and he doesn't see the problem and gets defensive. I don't want to feel like I am second to his family. How do I address this, and where he understands, or how do I help him to understand how hurt I am because of this?"
And let me just say before we dive in, I noticed a lot of body language between Kiwi and Terry that suggests that this question might have been submitted by one of you two. So why don't you lead off?
I can take the lead right here. We, not in that facet, had this problem.
Okay.
I think when a man that obviously has strong parental ties, mm-hmm. as I did as well.
Yes.
Until you separate yourself from being your mother and father's son to having your own family, mm-hmm. and being married now, your new family is you and your spouse.
Right.
You have to create that definitive line. And it took a lot of back and forth with us. And
I would tell him, "Babe, it's in the Bible. Yeah. When you get married, leave
here." It created a lot of communicative mm-hmm. issues I within bet. Our marriage mm-hmm. in the beginning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then through wisdom from our pastor team and just my mm-hmm. own revelation
right.
and reading those scriptures and actually contemplating mm-hmm. it and really thinking about it, I had a very long conversation with both of my parents that, "Hey, wow. look, I have a new family now. I'm still
good
your son.
You. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
I'm still your son."
Yeah.
Okay. Still love you.
I love you. Yeah.
But, you know, my wife's needs and my new family have to take precedence now. And it's what you've grown and instilled in me.
Right.
It's what I've grown up to be. Mm-hmm. You should be you know, happy and joyful that your son is this strong Christian man. So,
You know, I love that he said that because I know the wife wrote this and is hoping to help her husband see this. So definitely I want to hear from Kibi in just a minute. But I want to point out that what he did is biblical because the person whose family is the one who's trying to take more time really than they should be taking, it has to be that child, so to speak, who's talking to them. It needs to come. If it's your parents, you need to be the ones talking to them.
Yeah.
Because you're their child and you've got to level with them and you've got to make those boundaries. I think what you're doing is setting healthy boundaries.
It doesn't have to be an ugly conversation of I'm doing this.
Yes.
You know, it should be a very mild-mannered discussion of, you know, this is what you've raised me to be. Now I'm being that man.
And I love that. That's you know, huge.
I'm so proud of him because years ago, it's not like that.
Right. No, I mean, it was a learning curve. It was
It's not like that. And I understand that right there because I tried to explain to him, but sometimes he thinks differently. Yeah. Like he thinks that that's the right thing to do.
Right.
And me, no, it's not the right thing to do. So sometimes you need to have somebody to come into and like be the referee.
Right. Like another kind of a neutral person, so to speak, who's not part of that family.
Yeah.
You know, either side.
You realize that in your, as everybody's Christian walk grows every single day. And as you take that quiet time and you actually analyze all sides,
that's huge.
You know, this husband needs to separate himself.
Right.
Go and have some quiet time and really think about it. And I'm sure he'll come to the same realization I did.
And that's a good example of a cultural difference that can exist.
Mom, I still love you, but I have a wife now and I need to take care of my wife. It doesn't mean, and actually our relationship with my parents has grown tremendously. So,
and see, that's good because I think a lot of times we convince ourselves that setting boundaries means cutting off relationship, but in fact, those healthy boundaries can cultivate a healthier
relationship. And that's our goal, guys. If we do things God's way, every relationship in your life ultimately benefits. There might be seasons of discomfort, but every relationship can thrive with those boundaries, regardless of the culture, regardless of where you came from. If you'll just say, God, I want to do things your way. I want you to reshape my mind. And if there's anything in my culture, if there's anything in my thought process, anything in my heart that is not in line with your word and what you want for my life, then I pray that you would come in and correct it. And he will put us on the right track. And it's beautiful to see how he's done that in your lives and the love you have for each other and how far you've grown in your faith and your love for one another. It's just wonderful seeing you guys thrive. And so thank you for sharing, you know, your wisdom and your story with us today. And thank you guys who are listening for listening. And again, once more, as kind of a next step, if you want that free book and video resource.
Which, by the way, let me just say, the team who put it together, it's a beautiful book.
I'm so proud of it. I'm so excited.
It's like one of those gift books in beauty with the pictures included in this book. So it's not only practical, amazing, you know, biblical marriage advice, but it's beautiful to go through. And so you'll enjoy visually what they have put in those pages.
Yes. And it's not like another big thick book to read.
No.
It really just guides you through discussion and activities and can be such a great resource for you. We want to put that in your hands for free when you will help a real child, just like Kiwi, just in the same program that she grew up in, Compassion International. Once more, go to compassion.com/marriage or text the word marriage to 83393. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the Naked Marriage Podcast, telling your friends by spreading the word. Together, we're partnering and putting this message of hope all around the world, and we appreciate it so much. So God bless you guys.
We will see you next time.